Off the Ball.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a dedicated call centre.
This is News Talk.
Now, you're welcome along. So, what a big night in the Champions League this evening. Liverpool and Spurs both in action. Liverpool at home to Napoli, Spurs away to Barcelona. We have Kenny Cunningham in studio, which is incredibly exciting. We also look ahead to Katie Taylor's fight this Saturday.
Katie who?
Katie Taylor.
Would you stop, Kenny?
He didn't say Katie Taylor first time.
What
around,
did I say?
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he? Was that me? Was it? Sorry, I was fiddling with my earpiece.
Katie Taylor's fight this Saturday, and Alan Dimmock from Rugby World magazine as well joins us to talk about this whole area in rugby, which has really been grabbing the airways and the headlines over the last number of days. 53106 is the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. You're very welcome. So, Champions League upon us, Kenny. Exciting times. It's all come down to this. Here we go.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is tonight too. Two outstanding games, the Liverpool-Napoli game in particular. I can't wait for it. Got to be honest, I can't wait.
We have set up two televisions in the studio so that you can see both games. It's a major departure. You'll have the feed from both games, Kenny. What one are you going to spend more time watching? Who knows?
Elvis.
The better game, I suppose.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm drawn towards the Liverpool-Napoli game for a lot of different reasons. But Tottenham-Barcelona, I think Tottenham have done amazingly well just to be still alive and kicking at this point.
Full team news to come from Richie in just a moment in the news round, but the headline news is that there is no Messi and there is no Suarez. They have been rested for this game. Barcelona already through. Will Pochettino put that in the back of the dressing room door? Look at this, lads. They don't even respect you.
No, I think he's a better manager than that. That's the old tried and tested formula, but I'd be more, if I was a Tottenham supporter, encouraged by the starting 11 from Tottenham. I mean, this is the team I would have put out given a choice.
Right, go on, name it out then. People will be wondering.
Yeah, well, young Walker Peters comes in a right back, central defensive partnership of Alderweireld and Vertonghen. Danny Rose at left back. Looks to me as if Winks and Sissoko are just going to hold the balls to the central midfield area. Then you got a front four, my preferred front four of Harry Kane, obviously, flanked by Son Eriksen and Ali. That's pretty much
like
the best front four. Yeah, I think it's pace, energy, creativity. I think pace for me and that energy is going to be absolutely key. I'm expecting the type of performance Spurs gave against Chelsea some weeks ago when they literally just ran all over Chelsea. That kind of really high energy, dynamic, athletic type of performance. And I think it's that type of performance which can kind of get the better of this Barcelona team, albeit a slightly understrength Barcelona team.
Yeah, the news round is brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade, a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. Richie, you might as well put Liverpool fans out of their misery and give them their team as well.
Yeah, Liverpool play host to Napoli, knowing a 1-0 win at Anfield will see Jurgen Klopp's side progress from Group C. But if Napoli score tonight at Anfield, then Liverpool will require a 2-goal winning margin to reach the last 16. Liverpool start with Alisson in goal, then a back four of Trent, Alexander-Arnold, Joel Matip, Virgil van Dijk and Andrew Robertson. In midfield, the trio of Gini Wijnaldum, Jordan Henderson, who's captain for the night, and James Milner, and the front three, the familiar front three of Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane. For Napoli, a 4-3-3 for them as well. David Ospina starts in goal. Nikola Maximovic is at right back. Raul Albiol, Kalidou Koulibaly is in the centre defence with Mario Rui at left back. In midfield then, Allen, Mark Hamsik and Fabian Ruiz, with Jose Callahan and Lorenzo Insigne and Dries Mertens in that front three. Elsewhere in that group, PSG are away to the bottom side, Red Star Belgrade.
So if we can assume for a second PSG will win and go through, then it's between Liverpool and Napoli. Jurgen Klopp was talking about what a strange situation this is. We can go out and win 1-0 and go through, but then 3-2 isn't quite good enough, but then 3-1 is. It's not a situation they would have experienced very often. Here's the key question, Kenny. You're in that team, in that Liverpool team specifically. You go 1-0 up after 50 minutes.
50.
5-0.
Yeah.
Everyone's jogging back. What does Captain Kenny say to the team? Everyone dig in, sit back, or we go for number two?
Well, I don't think you say one or the other, but I think you'd
be... So you're indecisive as a captain.
You're not indecisive, but every realises the permutations. They know 1-0 is good enough to go through. So what in effect, you keep pushing, but you've always got your eye in terms of the defensive shape of the team. You don't overcommit people ahead of the ball. You just play smart between then and the end of the game.
If you were Jurgen Klopp, would you whip off one of the front three and put on a more defensive-minded midfielder?
No, not necessarily, because I think when you Klopp lays primarily in defending from the front, the type of pressure he gets early on the ball, and the front three are the best at doing that. So no, I don't think by taking one of them off and introducing necessarily a central midfielder makes you more defensively secure. I'm a little bit worried about the Liverpool midfield three, I've got to be honest with you. I think they've been exposed, their frailties, and it's not obvious frailties, but defensive frailties have been exposed in this Champions League qualifying group, particularly PSG and even away in Belgrade. Wijnaldum, for me, in terms of his defensive attributes, he's got a bit of a soft centre for me. And the game against PSG, at times the three of them, even Henderson, they got overrun. So that'd be a slight cause of concern. The front three look as if they found their mojo again.
Yeah.
Back four looks reasonably solid. Again, they haven't got Gomez there. That'd be a slight concern. His partnership with Van Dijk, we know how strong that's been. But it's that midfield three for me, because Napoli, the way they play, I know it's a new manager this year, but I don't think too much has changed. They work the ball, you know, 1-2 touch, good little combination play, clever technical operators in that area of the pitch. And Liverpool have to be really switched on. And I just think from a defensive point of view, Wijnaldum there for me, good player as he is, yeah, he just doesn't see danger quickly enough for me.
Okay,
doesn't
right.
track people, doesn't make enough tackles. So that's a small area of concern. Liverpool favourites, obviously so, but I'll be slightly worried if I was
Would
a Liverpool
you?
Supporter.
It's amazing the difference between home and away form for both sides, actually, in that Liverpool are unbeaten in 18 European matches at Anfield. That is quite the record, 18 matches unbeaten. They've won 13, they've drawn 5. And Napoli, who have been good at home, they have not won a single one of their last 6 away Champions League matches. 1-0, drawn 2, lost 4 away from home, Napoli. It's amazing the extent to which home and away is such an advantage at this level.
Yeah, at any level, I suppose. We've had this argument. If you talk to statisticians, Joe, the world over, any domestic league in terms of home, why does it happen? Why do teams have the same dimensions of the peak yaki the act? But it is a factor, no more so here than Anfield, in terms of the atmosphere, generally, not just the atmosphere, kind of how that affects the psychology of the players going onto the pitch, hearing that roar, you know what I mean? The rush of adrenaline, the confidence it gives you, all those type of things. I don't think these Napoli players are going to shirk away when they hear that kind of noise inside the stadium, and seeing the experience that they have.
Their away form would suggest they are susceptible to it.
Yeah, yeah. That's another fact which makes Liverpool. You fancy Liverpool tonight, Rich?
Yeah.
Joe?
I reckon they go at them early and they could possibly have this, not necessarily put to bed, but they'll have a decent.
I could very easily see a 2-1 tonight. I think tonight's tough for them. Very tough. I think they'll concede. I think they'll have to score 3 goals to have a chance.
I think they will.
They may well, yeah. To be fair, I'm not familiar enough with Napoli's defence away from home to be sure.
Yeah, but
I know Liverpool didn't put a single shot on target on them away from home in the reverse fixture. Not a single shot on target.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, a lot of talk about Van Dijk. For me, like up until this season, that Koulibaly was a good shout for me for being amongst it last season, the best centre-half possibly in Europe. He's really improved the last kind of 18 months, physically really imposing, quick, great athlete, and actually the part of the game which has improved the most in terms of his passing ability. You know, you can really trust him in possession, the football, can play off his left and right foot. So actually the centre there, defence for me is reasonably strong. It's one of the strengths of the team.
You see, this game is going to be like no other game really that we talk about very often. So Anthony O'Connell on Facebook says, I think a big win for Liverpool tonight. And I have no doubt they will come out and we will see the gegenpressing of old. They're going to be harassing and harrowing the Napoli players and going after them and trying to go big and win big. And then you get to an interesting point if they don't score early on, where as the clock maybe goes half-time at nil-all and then into 50, 60 minutes, there'll be a real shift whereby Liverpool will say, right, we actually now cannot afford to concede a goal because we don't have time to score 3. And it may become this slightly strange nil-all where Liverpool are just looking to nick one. There's various permutations that will change across the game. It's going to be fascinating to watch how it plays out.
Permutation 2-1, Joe. Liverpool win 2-1.
Out.
Exactly.
2-goal win.
So it's amazing. So you're saying the quick start, and I agree with you. Liverpool could blow them away in the first half now. Could be 2-0 up.
Yeah.
But like you say, that 2-0 scoreline, we get into the second half, 15, 20, 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the end of the game, it's still a 2-0. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
The tension side, it's just going to flip totally in terms of tension. It's going to be unbelievable.
There'll be a moment where it flips one way or another, and it's going to be fascinating to see it, I have to say. So Jurgen Klopp will play some of Klopp, actually, in about 20 minutes' time. He was talking about just what a strange game it is to try and prepare for, and then also during the game to manage. Lads, if Liverpool score tonight, is Klopp going to go for a jog around Anfield then start kissing all his players, wonders the Walkinstown Beckenbauer? Certainly hope so. £8,000, that little run onto the pitch cost him.
Is that what it cost him?
Yeah.
Just another ivory back scratcher.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I suppose you have to find him, but it just doesn't feel right. It was a well-meaning celebration. He wasn't goading anyone.
Yeah, I don't think it was contrived, to be honest. I think it was kind of quite spontaneous.
Would be like that. It's 6 minutes into out of time.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit OTT for me. I was cringing a little bit, but I wouldn't be too harsh on him.
What's the most OTT you've gone celebration-wise?
Fist pump.
A shake of the hands with the striker.
Well, I didn't. I made a conscious decision.
Clap on the back with the shake of the hands.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Well, I made a conscious decision at some point during my career, and it was reasonably early, wasn't that late on, that I wouldn't go up the pitch to celebrate a goal. Because I remember initially, you know, the euphoria, God, you go up and the energy levels, you come back, they take the goal, kick off, and you're still trying to get your
breath.
You're blown up. Yeah. So very quickly for me, I thought, well, I'm going to let them get on with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep myself in the head mentally where I need to be and just start touching base with people as they start coming and getting people in the positions where I want them when the kickoff comes. So that's what I needed to do. Very quickly, I kind of realised, well, I'm not going to expend energy running up, you know what I mean, absolute, you know, head case, rah, 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 Gary Neville style, and just keep me. And so there'd be times when there was times we scored goals and I'd literally be the only man in me half the pitch. Like, you know, Billy Nomades, nobody within like 20, 30 yards of me. But even inside my own head, just set me, just set myself right in terms of what was coming next. Where were they going to deliver the ball? You know, did they go back to front early or
get in the right positions?
Bit of a banal answer to your question, Jov.
No.
Kind of dragged it down a little
bit. No, I think that's very interesting. And to be honest, you're dead right. Like, it's the right thing to do. Is to be ready to go again. You're preparing.
But it's happened. I experienced it. I scored goals and conceded within 30 seconds to a minute, not being set up right, not getting the press on early enough. People actually physically tired.
Correct. Yeah.
Running 50 yards up the pitch.
Yeah.
So when it goes back to the opposition right back, and the pressure should come, it doesn't. He launches a ball up the pitch, flick on. All of a sudden, you get the goal or force a corner, and from the resulting corner, you ended up conceding. That's happened more than one occasion during my career. So if you think about it logically. Yeah, great. We all want to celebrate a goal, but you know, logically, well, okay, let the lads get on with the hype of the pitch. Well, I'm going to make sure that we're organised.
You're a leader. You're a leader of men.
Not really. It's not, I don't think leadership comes into it.
I think that's leadership, yeah. Would you even give your little goalkeeper a hug, no? For a big one? Jog back and give a little high five, no? Or are you always Billy
Nomades? I never remember making physical, any kind of physical contact with me, goalkeeper or any other member. Well, this came in, had this conversation, I don't know where's yourselves, about the kind of constant high-fiving. The amount of times you're in a game there, defenders will make a tackle, they're heavy
clearance.
Chiellini's
number one for it.
Oh, Chiellini's the worst, like. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
He enjoys defending, Cam.
Do you know what? I disagree with you.
He enjoys defending.
I think what they are doing.
That's what he's there for.
No. Here's the thing. It's like a midfielder
picking the ball up and making an accurate 20-yard pass, turning to his central midfield partner and high-fiving him.
Why not?
They're keeping their energy.
That's what you're meant to do.
No.
Tackle, head it,
totally disagree.
Danger, clear your lines.
Totally disagree.
That's your job.
There's a few things going on there. One, they're energising themselves. We're all up. We're all in it together. High five. They're up. And also it sends out a message to the opposition. We are pumped. We are full of energy.
Idiot.
Your morale's going down the toilet.
That's the message it sends out to me. You're watching it. You're an idiot.
No. I think it sends out a brilliant message. And I actually do think
They're getting themselves going. If you're asking me as an opposition player, I'm looking at somebody kind of high five and I'm running around the penalty box, or somebody absolutely ice cold, just makes a tackle, makes him the chef and physically impose himself, does his job and doesn't react. There's no reaction whatsoever. He set himself up, did the exact same thing again 5-10 seconds later. That's what impresses me more, that type of defender. He was just an absolute machine. He'll do it time and time again, just sends out that message. Look, I'm not high-fiving anybody, this is my job. I'm good at it. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it after that as well. Keep putting those cross into the box. I'm going to keep heading them. This kind of constant kind of like, you know, group kind of celebration, everyone's going to be hugging each other in there.
Jeez, I wouldn't say you're a fan of doubles tennis where they clap hands after every point.
Yeah, no,
which they do.
No, I'm not. But I don't. But I think you are right, Joe. You could argue psychologically, that's kind of getting them. Well, forget about the impact it's having on the opposition. If that's getting, but I don't think it's a good thing to get wound up. Anyway, I see players getting wound up too much.
Don't be Dejan Lovren.
That's not a good thing. Your emotions take over, massive agenda rush you up. That's when you're kind of, you don't make good decisions. You're a little bit all over the place. You're not calm in your head.
There is a balance.
Yeah, so.
There is a balance, I give you that. Some players may figure out what works for them, you know, as well. Chiellini obviously has figured it works for us and we're all up and we're keeping each other on our toes. We're talking to each other all the time. We're up all the time. We're encouraging all
when
the time.
When Rob was talking, I was probably talked too much. People talk,
really, yeah.
No. Talk too much in a football pitch.
But
it was literally that. It was literally just, switch on.
Did you see I'm a Celeb last night? That kind of crack. Harry won it. Yeah. Did you vote for him?
The lovable rogue.
He is a nice man, he seems.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know Harry Redknapp too well.
Be careful here.
But if you were to ask players and people who've been associated with him professionally the last couple of years,
careful,
do they recognise this kind of quote, lovable rogue that they've seen in the jungle? I think you might get a different answer from people. I'm not saying he hasn't got that side to him.
I thought players loved playing for Harry. He was a player's manager.
Maybe so, but I think I heard it coming from in the jungle saying I haven't enjoyed football as much as I should. So much pressure, so much at stake. I've felt so much responsibility that it has a kind of effect. Family life, great, but my professional life, I have had my ups and downs. I have struggled in terms of finding the happy medium, the happy place where you need to be. So I think that's an indication that it hasn't always been as affable, happy-go-lucky type of character, which I can understand.
No, that's fair enough. We met him, he was over here, did a show here about 2 years ago, and he was great, perfect gent. What you'd hope affable Harry would be, you know? So that's my only experience with him. Liverpool could win 2-1 and Fitch your home stats win, and Napoli lose again away from home to Fitch your stats, but Napoli would go through, so your stats are proved right, but also wrong, says Donald.
Oh, that's one straight over my head. That made no sense to me whatsoever.
I'm working too much to figure that out.
I didn't get that.
Liverpool could win 2-1, therefore Liverpool being good at home works. Napoli could lose again, but lose 2-1, and Napoli would still go through.
Oh, so I see. That's the
stats
point.
Are both right and wrong this evening. The stats this evening could go along familiar lines and still work out very badly for Liverpool. That's Daniel's point.
I think Napoli will score. I think they will score.
So Liverpool have to score 3 then.
Which, of course, we know they're more than capable of, but
yeah.
But that's still a reasonably big ask.
Raymond O'Mahony, Liverpool control their own destiny, that's the key. Kerry Sheehan from Kerry says, Napoli, quite a hard task. Liverpool always good at home. Lads, I'm watching a lot of Italian football at the moment. Napoli good in possession.
Has he got his 11 sports sorted out?
I presume so, or else Alan in Mount Bellew is streaming illegally. Both are options.
Ask him how complex was the process in terms of, just give me a heads up.
Not Google complicated.
It. Still personally
it's
close
not complicated.
To,
Google it.
That's coming from you. This is somebody who's actually... Sorry, made a jump.
I'm not technically superior Somebody's to many people. This is not complicated.
Yeah, but you haven't done, that's my point. I did do it for the
USPGA, for the golf.
Yeah, but...
Then I cancelled it.
Right.
But I had it.
So who was that lad who texted in?
Alan in Mount Bellew. You're not going to know him.
Right, well...
Google
ask him to text back in. How complicated was the process?
Okay, Alan, if you don't mind, sorry.
Maybe that final push that I need to go and do it because...
Considering you've moaned about 4 times already in the office
this evening
about not watching it. I think I've
missed it, the Italian and...
Not to be pushing 11 sports, not to be pushing it, but I think you can get it for like 50 quid a year.
Oh, no, it's not a...
It's the hassle.
It's not a financial consideration, yeah. It's just a stress.
It's just the leap.
There's no stress.
Yeah. There's no stress. It's 10 minutes work. Honestly.
No, there's stress involved. Believe me, there's stress involved in my life.
You're talking about...
Making that move.
Like what?
Well, it's just the stress of physically being able to having to get online and just talk to strangers.
We're strangers.
You don't have to talk to any strangers. You just put in your details and click submit and then it's there. Kenny, you're spot on. Self-praise is no praise. High-fiving each other is ridiculous, reckons the Walkinstown Beckenbauer. Second time Walkinstown Beckenbauer has texted in tonight, Kenny. He's on form tonight. He's excited.
We're not alone.
He's a big game player.
We're not alone.
We need to keep moving here. So where are we going?
Yeah, Tottenham on the other side leaning on head-to-head records this evening. They're away to a Barcelona side already confirmed as Group B winners. Spurs need to at least match whatever Inter do at home to PSV. We've already heard the Tottenham lineup. It's a pretty familiar one. A sense of that Barcelona quote-unquote second string. Jasper Cillessen starts in goal for then a back four of Nelson Semedo, Clément Longley, Thomas Vermaelen and Juan Miranda in midfield. The trio of Arthur, Carlos Alenia and Ivan Rakitic with Usman Dembele, Munir El Haddadi and Philippe Coutinho there from three. Both of those games involving English sides kicking off at 8.
We're just watching the BT Sport coverage there. I was telling you, Kenny, what happened the other day to Rio Ferdinand and Joe Cole in the BT
fella? Sorry, Joe.
Luis Garcia.
Luis Garcia.
Who's the other fella?
Michael Owen.
Is that Michael Owen? He's put on a bit of timber, isn't he?
Jesus.
He has, though.
You don't recognise him.
He can't be body shaming Michael Owen.
It's not body shaming him, but he actually has.
You're body shaming Michael Owen.
My God.
He's not that big.
That was Augustus Gloop.
Now that's body shaming him.
You can't say that.
See?
Never recognised.
Give him an inch.
Never recognised.
Give him an
inch.
He's not
that big. He's looking sharp. Garcia's looking
Garcia
sharp.
Garcia looks well. Here, Michael Owen is still in very, very acceptable
not
shape.
Sure about Rio with that. What's it like? A brown cashmere polo, is it?
Yeah. Polo necks are in this season, Ken.
Really?
Yeah. I watch a lot of fashion segments in Ireland.
Boot cuts are coming back as well.
Oh, they can get to hell.
I'm telling you, Kenny. You'll be wearing them in 6 months' time.
Boot cut jeans.
You saw what happened to Rio Ferdinand and Joe Cole, did you? I was telling you, so
you're
I know.
Telling
you know.
Me, yeah, hilarious.
So they went to the break at the weekend, BT Sport, and in some of the feeds online, the break never happened. And so the lads just kept chatting away and they were on someone's feed for the entire ad break. And it was amazing how suddenly the forthrightness increased a whole lot. It went from, yeah, he might have done better there to, he's a liability. Kyle Walker, complete liability. And Joe Cole, so they were, look, Mendy's done him here. He's a liability every time. Liability. And Joe goes, oh, I'm with you. I'm not saying that on air though, because his mate comes into my gym.
Hate that.
And then they're all, ooh.
I hate that.
And they're like, Sané as well, ball watching. And then it comes back from ad break.
Yeah, he could do better there.
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on. Interesting.
Nah, it's always
can't
interesting.
They just say he's a liability. Kyle Walker, ball watching. Rio was saying, like, at the top level, England, World Cups, he's going to be found out.
You never say for you, off air, on air. It's all that. Somebody once told me, just off air, on air, just treat it as if you're permanently on air.
Sorry, why don't you do that in here?
Yeah, like, what you come out with out there is just... Like,
I can't retain so much.
I'm already waiting to hear what you're going to say about how you're redknapping the ad break. It's unbelievable. So, anyway, poor Michael Owen. By the way, Michael Owen looks absolutely fine, I would say. Yeah?
He does, Joe, yes.
He didn't say he didn't look fine.
You said he looks like Augustus Gloop.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Top spot still needs deciding in Group A tonight. Atletico Madrid need only a draw away to Club Brugge, while Borussia Dortmund need a win away to Monaco and hope for a home victory in Bruges. Your earpiece came out, Kenny.
Sorry.
They kicked off at 5:55 in both Group D games this evening, where there's just a Europa League spot to decide. In Istanbul, it's currently Galatasaray 2, Porto 3, and in Gelsenkirchen, it's 0-0 between Schalke and Lokomotiv Moscow. So Porto already guaranteed top spot, Schalke going through in second, and as things stand, Galatasaray will hold on to third spot and Europa League football in the new year. Jonathan Sexton's looking forward to playing a continued part in what he's calling an exciting time for Irish rugby. The recently crowned World Player of the Year has signed a new contract, keeping him with Leinster and Ireland until at least the summer of 2021. Sexton will be approaching his 36th birthday when his new deal expires. He could still be eligible for a third consecutive Lions tour when that summer of 2021 rolls around.
He's been talking in the last while about how he's discovered Tom Brady. He wasn't really an NFL fan, but Tom Brady, on the pitch anyway, he's become a bit of a hero, playing until he's 40 and still doing very well. So Sexton's targeting that. Doesn't seem to be someone who struggles at all with his weight. Seems to have his injury situation. Admittedly, he did his calf at the weekend, but in a better place generally, and will be well looked after. So you could absolutely see him.
He's absolutely. Well, that's the thing.
Playing great rugby in 3 years' time.
That's the point. Is making the Ivan, the IRFU, look after their international players in terms of game management so well.
Yeah.
That this idea of playing 36, 37, and possibly beyond, once your body's looked after, then you could easily do it.
Yeah. It'd be great if he could keep going. I mean, he's playing the best rugby of his career at the moment. So.
Really, yeah.
Kenny, did you not feel the urge to pat DiCanio on the back of the head after you scored that volley over your head back in the day, wonders Mary and Greystones?
Actually, I think he actually patted me on the head before he volleyed it into the, top of the
net. Watch this, son.
He saw it coming, yeah, he saw it coming a mile away.
Have you ever said to a striker, so imagine a striker has scored a fantastic goal, runs off, celebrates, rah, 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 on it goes. 5 minutes later, or 2 minutes later, there's tip off and striker jogs back up towards you. Have you ever said, fair play, good goal?
No.
All right. Cormac O'Malley on Twitter. Do you think it ever goes on?
Oh, yeah, I think... Excuse me.
You're falling apart, man.
I think it does go on, you're right, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think it's more prevalent the last kind of 5, maybe 10 years than it certainly was in...
Your day. They're all hugging each other in the tunnel these days. They're all just... You know, they don't even know what city they're in. They're just playing for a team.
Even the kind of like, I was going to roll it out now, even kind of this like shaking hands before the game, I still don't understand it.
As in the lining up to...
Yes, yeah. Lining up to shake hands for me is ridiculous.
Show respect. We're about to do battle.
No, again.
Fair play stuff and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, let's do this
in the right spirit.
What if it's one of those like anti-racism things that FIFA?
It's all show, but it's pure tokenism because players are half-hearted. Nobody's making eye contact. It's a token gesture thing. It's ridiculous. It's the whole thing is farcical. You shake someone's hand at the end of the game. You shake someone's hand at the end of the game. You've actually got a bit of respect for them. I've no problem actually people not shaking hands after the game. There's no respect there whatsoever between the players for whatever reasons. There might be issues there professionally, personally. I've no problem. People walking up to him, walking in different directions. That's just life. Just get on with it. But if you want to go and shake somebody's hand, go and do it at the end of the game.
Interesting here. So a pat on the back or a touch on the arm. I'm reading here from a piece in a journal. May be the keys to an NBA championship. This was written over on ABC News. According to two scientists from the University of California, Berkeley, the answer is yes. It's a decent university, Berkeley, Kenny. Michael Krause and Datcher Keltner studied every team in the NBA and found that the teams who touched and high-fived and patted on the back the most won the most.
This is why you've never won an NBA championship, Kenny.
Something in it, Kenny, I'm telling you. Chiellini did all right. Buffon.
Has he won a Champions League yet, Chiellini?
No.
No, well.
I don't think that's the reason, though.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. He's been too touchy, Joe.
I take the point, but...
Over the course of four games, the Dallas Mavericks and Miami Heat are deadlocked at two games apiece in the NBA Finals. Four games into the best of seven series, the Mavericks are winning in one key category, touches. According to the Wall Street Journal, Dallas had 250 instances of televised contact compared with Miami's 134. The contact could be as simple as a high five or as aggressive as a chest bump or as intimate as a butt slap, says the piece. There you go. I'll leave that with you, Kenny. You can think about that. Cormac O'Malley on Twitter says, tell Kenny it's absolutely easy to work. This is 11 Sports he's talking about.
Right.
We're getting commissioned for this.
Great app on the phone and straight onto Chromecast. Simple. They didn't have Chromecast during the time of the USPGA, Cormac. Have they got it in now? Because that was one of the reasons I dumped it.
Is there the option of picking up the phone and actually dialing a number and speaking to somebody on the other end of the phone who'll actually make the connection for you?
I'm sure there is, yeah.
If that's the case, I'm all over it.
You just said you didn't want to talk to someone.
Oh, no. I will pick up the phone. I want to talk to somebody. If I need to get something done, I mean, can't be in the minority when it comes to that. Surely, when you pick up the phone, you want to get something. Sorry, you want to speak to somebody down their phone.
The last thing I want to do when I'm joining up is have to call someone. Yeah. I'll fill out a form online and give her the details. Yeah. I'm not talking to a human being. Absolutely not.
So I'm actually a people person, despite how you try to portray me.
You really love just hanging out with your teammates and celebrating.
Oh, absolutely.
No. Pep Guardiola then talking about Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, he says Raheem Sterling is an incredible human being for dealing the way he has with racist abuse. The Manchester City manager was speaking after Sterling reported an alleged case of racist abuse to Scotland Yard following their 2-0 defeat at Chelsea on Saturday. Four Chelsea supporters have been suspended from entering Stamford Bridge pending further investigations into the matter. Guardiola has praised Sterling for speaking out against said racist abuse and says it's a wider cultural problem that needs to be tackled.
He's everywhere. The problem is the racism is in everywhere. The people we focus in football, it's not just in football, unfortunately. If it was just in football, we'll be safe. But the racism is in everywhere. What happened today in immigrants and refugees all around the world, how we treat them. When once in our lives we were refugees, our grandfathers or grandfathers and mothers were refugees. How we treat the societies, unfortunately, is in everywhere. That's why you have to fight and every day. They don't have to be tolerant zero on that issue. I appreciate what Chelsea did. What happened in my club, we should do the same. So we have to fight, but strictly, for the human rights, from everything to make a better society for the future for everyone. But today we are in danger, but not here in England, in everywhere, absolutely everywhere.
Also, the other news from City, David Silva.
Yeah, he's going to be out for what Guardiola called today a few weeks. The Spanish midfielder suffered a hamstring injury in that defeat to Chelsea, so it would look unlikely that he's going to play around the festive period.
City are a different proposition with no De Bruyne and no Silva.
Yeah, it's interesting how the dynamics changed a little bit up until the Chelsea defeat. I mean, it was literally people were eulogising over this Manchester City team. Rightly so, they had been playing very well, but I couldn't quite understand it. Because I was looking at the league table, I might mention it here before, like some weeks ago, saying, well, look, yeah, they are playing well. Individual form is good. They're scoring a lot of goals, not conceding too much, but they're still only 2 points ahead of Liverpool, and Liverpool haven't hit top gear yet. So Liverpool are going to get better. And when they do, and if City have any type of little drop-off in terms of performance, there's going to be a reckoning somewhere. So I'm not saying things have changed totally off the back of one performance. Liverpool are now top by a point. But Manchester City better be careful, because Liverpool aren't going to go away.
Yeah. Fowler's God on Twitter said, why is no one contemplating a result for Red Star against PSG?
Could well happen.
I suppose it's possible, yeah. Mm. I met Kenny once at a carousel at Birmingham Airport. We had to wait ages for the bags. It was 2010, a very icy winter. I told him he was a god, and all I got was an icy stare that matched that winter. Anonymous.
Icy stare?
Anonymous has got like a book deal in the pipeline.
That doesn't sound right.
That don't sound right.
No, I'm actually not.
Icy stare, but and that must have been a bit of conversation after it.
I would have thought so.
Yeah, he's insinuating there that I was a little bit rude and turned away and headed in the opposite direction.
Can I just say, though, the construction of that text or tweet, whatever it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Can we get a book deal?
Well, if it didn't paint me particularly.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Can you ask me just to expand on the icy?
I just admire the art.
Potentially, the icy stare. I mean, the God thing for me doesn't. You know, very nice of him to say so, but obviously it's well over it, so it's not really justified. So that might have been the reason for the icy stare. Say, come on, lad, keep in perspective.
I'd say if someone called you a God, you'd think they were taking the mick at you.
I'd be very. Yeah, possibly. Nah, not necessarily. People generally are very good, Joe. I've no problem with it. It's obviously overboard, but. Mm. I'd be very surprised if that was the end of the
exchange.
That's how it ended, the end of the exchange.
I'd be very surprised too.
I'd ask him to text in again.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fair on Kenny. That wouldn't tally with experience.
It's not the Kenny we know.
No, it's not.
It's not the Kenny we know.
It's not. Right, we should get through a few last stories.
Yeah, sticking with City, they've signed goalkeeper Zach Stefan from MLS club Columbus Crew. This goalkeeper has everything. He was named in this season's MLS Team of the Year and has 6 caps for the United States. Columbus haven't revealed the fee, but say it's the biggest they've ever received and a league record for a goalkeeper. Stefan will join Man City on the 9th of July. They're getting a lot of keepers considering Gavin Bazunu has gone over as well.
No Shot Sherlock says, would it not be the fact that NBA teams who score the most end up high-fiving more? You don't give a high five or a pat to someone on the back unless they score or defend really well. So the study worked out for the team who scores the most.
Not necessarily.
You
could have a lot of rebounds in there.
Great point.
I think there's also a lot of...
Great point. There's an average 150 to 200 points scored in every game.
I'm not believing that. I think there's a lot of hard luck high fives going on.
Unlucky mate, top of the arse.
Pats on the back. I'd say you were just as inclined to say to a teammate who made a mistake, come on, keep it going, let's go again, as opposed to a well done. So you did both equally.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about literally physical contact here. I didn't charge 20, 30 yards across the pitch like and...
Say, come on.
You know, do a tango with him and...
Yeah.
console him.
There's a similar point, actually.
Can you dance?
Regarding the high fives, Austin... Dignan says, and the NBA success study, surely the teams that are scoring more are going to be high-fiving more. Surely Man City players high-five each other more than anyone else as they are scoring goals every 5 minutes. Which comes first, chicken or egg? Okay, I'll accept it to a point. It's a fair question to ask.
You accept you're wrong. Oh, wow, Rich, I've heard it all now. Fair play, you're a big man, Joe. You're a big man. Saying you're in the wrong.
Jeez, you've cheered up since you ignored the fella at the carousel. Since you gave that man an icy stare, you're awfully warm now.
He said carousel, I thought you meant caravan. I was thinking like, what's it, something Christmas carnival or something outside the airport.
There's the start of our sitcom right there.
The old carousel, me and him on the horses. You know,
Kenny the caravan park.
In fairness, you've every right to be in a bad mood waiting at the carousel at Birmingham Airport for ages.
Like a normal person. With all those plebs, Kenny.
Yeah. So we really have to get moving now. Give us a last...
The head of Kick It Out, Lord Owsley, is stepping down after 25 years leading the organisation. It was established back in 1993 to tackle the problem of racism in football. And Joey Carberry will be given every opportunity to be fit for Munster's Heineken Champions Cup trip to Castres. The out half was a late withdrawal from last week's victory over the French side at Thomond Park with a hamstring issue. But Chris Farrell won't travel to France as the Ireland centre requires further assessment on a thigh injury. And Stephen Kenny will begin his term in charge of the Republic of Ireland under-21s with a home tie against Luxembourg. The fixture has been confirmed for the 2021 European Championship qualifying campaign, which will get underway in March. The first away game is in Sweden in September. Kenny will have taken charge, not you, of the senior team by the time the senior campaign, or that campaign wraps up in Italy in October 2020. Troy Parrott could well be part of that under-21 setup, of course. The Republic of Ireland under-17 striker helped fire Tottenham's under-19s into the playoffs of the UEFA Youth League today. The 16-year-old scored for the third consecutive European game running as Spurs won 2-0 away to Barcelona.
Is there anyone in line to take over from Stephen Kenny and finish out that under-21 qualification campaign as things stand?
No.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. Jurgen Klopp, we'll hear from. We'll talk to Kenny a bit more about these games.
Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.